اللهم بلغ أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات ثواب سورة الفاتحة مع الصلوات. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، خالق السماوات والأرضين. الحمد لله الذي بعث أنبياءه بالحق والهدى ثم ختمهم بحبيبه المصطفى. الحمد لله الذي جعل إكمال دينه وإتمام نعمته بولاية المرتضى. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله رب العالمين، أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى أهله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله في كتابه وقوله الحق. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال الله عز وجل وهو أصدق الصادقين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندكم الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. محترم قبلة حجۃ الاسلام والمسلمین شیخ شبیر صاحب، مائی ایلڈرز، برادرز اینڈ سسٹرز، السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. Yesterday I was speaking to the director of programs and he told me to relax today. He thought that I was being stressed out and he suggested that I take something easy today. So I thought I'll do the other way around. I thought I'll make us all uneasy and stress us all out. The topic, kindness to parents, is a topic that has been talked about many times. Many scholars will talk about it. It is a very important topic. Unfortunately, what happens is that when the topic is spoken about, or even I could say as a lecturer, that when I speak about it or do the research for it, what happens is that for a few days you get that josh that I'm going to be kind to my parents. I'll do what is demanded from me. I'll take care of my responsibility. But within a couple of days, that feeling that you had, that feeling of upliftment, slowly disappears. And that's why it is needed, that's why it is necessary to repeat this topic, however much it might have been repeated. However, before I go into the topic, I'd like to remind you of something. I know Mawlana Sahib has been reminding you several times. It is the month of Ramadan. We all come to it together with your hunger and thirst. Remember the hunger and thirst of those who are not as lucky, who does not have food. When we eat iftar, don't overeat yourselves. Don't take more than you need. Don't fill your plates and then throw away half or more than half or less, even less than half. Take as much as you can eat. Take as much as you think as is good for you, will make you fill. Don't, sometimes people think that, oh, if I don't take two pieces of chicken now, He'll finish. It won't be more left when I'm hungry or so. So I'll take one now, and if I need to throw it away, I'll throw it away. No. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be moderate. If you feel you need to eat 2 pieces of chicken, take 2 pieces of chicken, by all means. But don't waste. Take as much as you feel, and afterwards, if there is food left, you can still have some. And if there's not, inshallah, you'll survive till Sahri. It won't kill you by eating one less piece. So inshallah, I hope that it doesn't take more reminders, and that we don't have to see those half empty plates or half full plates being thrown away with food, because in the end we will have to answer to Allah for all of that. So please keep that in mind. Please recite the salawat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, talking about the importance of parents, He says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَن لَا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. Your Lord has decreed, He has decided, He has commanded that you should not worship anyone else except Him. And in the same breath, in the very same breath, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And towards your parents, you should be kind, you should be good, you should show goodness to your parents. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكُمُ الْكِبَرَ. If any one of them, أَحَدَهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا, one of them or both of them reaches old age with you, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ. Don't even say uff to them. This word, uff. وَلَا تَنَهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Don't be rude to them, and say to them a nice word. You know, sometimes when your parents reaches an old age, already when you're 15, you feel like, oh, my dad doesn't understand anything. Huh? He doesn't understand what I'm going through at school, and then we'll use bad language. Allah says, even if they reach an old age with you, don't use that kind of words. Uff, according to the ahadith, it is the lowliest word Allah could use in the Quran. Had there been a lower word Allah could have used in the Quran, He would have used that. But uff, I mean, imagine the kind of words young people use today. Imagine the gravity of using that kind of words. Well, Allah says, even the word uff you cannot use when you talk to your parents. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنًا. And we have enjoyed man respect of his parents. His mother bears him faintings upon faintings. Those difficult times that the mother carries the child in the stomach, in the womb. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ. And then Allah says, أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكِ. That you should be thankful to me and to your parents. See the combination Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First He says that you should worship me and have respect to your parents. And then He says you should thank me and thank your parents. The close connection between ibadah to Allah, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and respect towards parents. The close connection of having thankfulness towards your parents and thankfulness towards Allah. It is so close that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses them in the very same breath. And when we go to the Ahlul Bayt, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the Ahlul Bayt, they have been very stern when it comes to the parents. The way that they have addressed the believers to respect the parents. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the pleasure of Allah lies in the pleasure of one's parents, and His wrath lies in their wrath. Meaning, if your parents are not happy with you, Allah will not be happy. And if your parents are happy with you, Allah will be happy and pleased. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that the best deeds are punctual prayers, meaning praying in time, kindness to parents, and jihad fi sabilillah. Is it okay to say jihad in America? Of course, we are not necessarily talking about the jihad which you do with swords or weapons. There is a jihad on nafs as well. Inshallah, on Imam Hassan's wilada, we will be talking about the importance of peace in Islam, where some people have the misunderstanding that Islam is all about war. we will be talking about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used peace, and how Imam Hassan alayhi salam and the other Aimma used peace as well. And we'll see that there is a balance in Islam between everything. Again, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq says, he who wishes Allah Almighty and Glorious to lighten the agonies of death. If you want an easy death, he should have regard for his kinship and treat his parents with goodness. Then when a person does so, Allah will make the agonies of death easy for him, and he will not be struck by poverty. He won't be poor. In another hadith, Imam Radha quotes the Prophet saying that be good to your parents so that your recompense is paradise. The reward for being nice to parents is paradise. And if they disown you, if they are not pleased with you, then the opposite is true. The end is hellfire. No, even the looking upon your parents. The Prophet says when a child or when a son or a daughter, when you look upon the parent with love, that is written as hajj. That is written as 70 hajj for the mu'min. For the one who does that, for the one who looks. So someone asked, even if you look 100 times a day, the Prophet said, even if you look 100 times a day. Every single look carries that reward. So when your parent sometimes is, you know, talking about things and you feel like, what is he going on about? What is she going on about? Instead of looking with that, you know, that disgust, that why is my parents talking like this? No, we turn away, we turn and say, Alhamdulillah, this is the person that brought me up. Alhamdulillah, this person gave everything for me. So we will bear that, even if it is difficult for us. And the Prophet says that one who obeys Allah's orders with regarding to obeying the parents, one who obeys Allah when it comes to the parents, Allah shall open two doors of paradise for that person. Allah shall open two doors. And one who only has one parent, Allah will only open one door. Here doors meaning not that when you enter, when you go through a door, you come to the same place when you, whatever door you go through. Meaning there are different stages in paradise. And there are certain stages you will only achieve by doing certain actions. That is why, for example, in paradise there is doors of those who pray. There is the doors of those who give sadaqah. And there is the doors of those who fulfill the rights of their parents. Recite a salawat, please. Of course, the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt have said very clearly, to what point should you obey the parents? It is very clear. Obey them in whatever is halal. Obey them in whatever is halal. If they ask you to do something which is haram, then you should not obey them. So if they ask you to, for example, do shirk, or they ask you to stop praying the wajib prayers, then you don't listen to them. Certain things which are mubah, mustahab, you will have to ask the ulama. There are different degrees of rules depending on their rulings. But when it comes to the halal, you have to obey them. When it comes to the halal, you have to obey them. You have to try to make them pleased. You have to make them happy. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, in his work, Risalatul Huquq, Risalatul Huquq, you see, these days people talk about human rights as if it is something new. The United Nations invented the human rights. The problem is with the people today, they are always talking about the rights. You see, everyone, you go around, they say, oh, this is my right. I have the right to do this. I have the right to do that. I have the right that the government should take care of me. I have the right to say what I want to say. I have the right to go where I want to go. Yet people are forgetting to talk about responsibilities. See, if everyone were to talk about responsibilities, what is my responsibility towards my neighbor? What is my responsibility towards my father? What is my responsibility towards my children? What is my responsibility towards my own hands, my own body, my own eyes? If people were to talk about responsibilities, then no one would have to go out and say, what are my rights? Because everyone would have got their rights. But the problem is that in this society we live in, everyone wants what is mine, what is mine, what is mine. It is me, me, me. Imam Sajjad writes a treatise on the huquq, the rights of others. The rights of others. In it he describes, for example, the rights of your limbs, the rights of your parents, the rights of your neighbors, the rights of those who live with you, the rights of every single thing. And about the mother, he says, the right of your mother is that you know that she carried you where no one carries anyone. She gave to you of the fruit of her heart that which no one gives to anyone. And she protected you with all her organs. She did not care if she was hungry as long as you ate. How many times did your mother not go hungry? Whereas she made sure that you had to eat. How many times did she not stay away from eating? Or she would just make sure that she chose the food to make sure that you can eat the food. This is the mother. If she was thirsty, she didn't care as long as you drank. If she didn't have any clothes, she at least made sure that you were clothed. If she was freezing, she made sure that you were clothed. If she was in the sun, she would make sure that you are in the shade. She gave up sleep for your sake. She gave up sleep for your sake. She protected you from heat and cold, all in order that you might belong to her. You will not be able to show her gratitude. Whatever you do, it will never ever be enough. Unless through God's help and giving success. It is reported once that Nabi Musa alayhi salam was praying to Allah. He said, "Oh Allah, who is the best man in my community?" Meaning, who will I have as my neighbor? Who will be my neighbor in paradise? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to him that go to this and this place. There is that man which will be your neighbor in paradise. So Nabi Musa goes to this place and he finds a butcher. He finds a butcher. You know, not the hermit, not the person sitting in the cave and doing, you know, just tasbih all the day. Or the person with the big beard and everything. No, the butcher. So, the butcher doesn't recognize the prophet. Prophet Musa, he doesn't recognize Prophet Musa. The prophet says, "Could I be with you for today?" He says, "You are very welcome." He wants to see, he wants to find out, what is it that makes this man become a beloved of Allah? So he stays with him for the duration of the day. He goes home with him. When he goes home, this host excuses himself. He says, "I will be right back." And then he goes away, he comes back. After a while, he goes away, comes back again. And he goes away, comes back again. After a while, Nabi Musa asks him, why are you going away and coming back? What is making you going away and coming back? So he says, "My mother is in the other room. She is old, she cannot move. I feed her, I clean her, and I help her to sleep. I take care of her." So Nabi Musa asks, "And what does she do for you?" He says, "She prays for me that I should meet Musa Kalimullah." The prayer of the mother, because of what he did for his mother, the prayer of the mother is very quick in being responded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer it very quickly. On the other hand, it is reported that a man came to the Prophet and he said that, "I have done the worst kinds of sins. Is there any forgiveness for me? I have done the worst kinds of sins. Is there any forgiveness?" So he says, "Is any of your parents alive?" So he says, "My father is." So the Prophet said, "Go and take care of your father, and inshallah Allah will forgive you." Then when he goes away, he says, "Had his mother only been alive, that would have been much better for him." Another man comes to the Prophet and says, "Who should I take care of? Who should I be kind towards?" So he says, "Your mother." Then he says, "Whom?" Again, "Then your mother." Again, "Then whom?" Again, "Your mother." The fourth time, the Prophet says, "Then your father." This is the lofty position Islam gives to the mother. Islam is not the religion that oppresses women. Islam is the religion that raises the woman to the highest of positions. And tomorrow, which is the wafat of Sayyidah Khadija salamu alayha, we say salawat. We will see the position, the role model that we have in women in society. We will be discussing that. Another man is dying and he cannot say La ilaha illallah. So the Prophet comes to him and he asks, does this man have a mother? Does this man have a mother? So they say, yes, he has a mother. And the mother comes, they have not spoken to each other for 6 years. Over some disagreement. And the Prophet says, "Please forgive your son." So she says, "Because you have said so, I will forgive." She forgives the son and he says, La ilaha illallah. And then, he is on his deathbed and dies after that. But the importance of having that relationship with your mother. Recite another salawat, please. On the other hand, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq says that the one who glares at his parents with wrathful eyes, Although they did something wrong. Sometimes we say, my parents did something wrong towards me. Although they did something wrong. The one who looks with wrathful eyes, Allah will not even accept his prayers. So all that we spoke about, taqwa, doing prayers, all that, no value. Thrown away. Allah will not accept anything. Even if they are mushrikeen, Allah says, even if they are mushrikeen, you need to respect them. A companion, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq has a companion who becomes a Muslim. He was a Christian. He comes to the Imam, he becomes a Muslim at the hands of the Imam, and then he asks the Imam, he says, my mother is a Christian, what should I do? He says, go and take care of her until she dies, and you take care of her funeral rites. Now the Imam is prophesizing that your mother will die soon, and you have to take care of her funeral rites, meaning she will die as a Muslim. So he goes back to his city, he takes care of his mother. He takes care of his mother more than he has ever taken care of her. So her mother is surprised, saying, my son, what has happened? Never did you used to do this to me. Never were you this kind. What has happened? So she says, I have a new master who has told me that I should be nice to my parents. She says, your master, is he a prophet? So he says that no, but he is a grandson of the prophet. The last prophet of Islam. She says, it cannot be. These teachings can only be the teachings of a prophet. So he explains that no, my mother, according to Islam, the last prophet has already come. And after him, now there are leaders, a'imma. And they are teaching us these kind of things. So she asks her to teach her more. Afterwards, she becomes a Muslim. And within a couple of days, she dies like that. In the stage of Islam. So the prophecy of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq came true. By taking care of his mother, she also became a Muslim and died as a Muslim. On the other hand, it is said that the smell of paradise could reach you from 1,000 years away on the judgment day. Of course, now it doesn't mean, remember when we talk about these numbers, 70,000, 50,000, these are not to be taken physically, you know, so you count that, okay, I'm 1,000 years from paradise, so I'll reach there in 1,000 years, let's go. No, these are numbers of showing magnitude, of showing that there's a lot, the distance is so a lot, meaning that the fragrance of paradise can be felt from a long way, from far away. So, this smell, it is said that the one who is not kind to his parents, the person will not be able to smell that smell, which is, otherwise you can feel it 1,000 years away. The punishment of not being kind to your parents. Mutawakkil, who was one of the greatest enemies of Ahlul Bayt, he was a Khalifa of Bani Abbas. He was the greatest enemy of Ahlul Bayt. According to some, he was the Yazid of Bani Abbas. He forbade the ziyarah of Imam Hussein. He used to curse Imam Ali. The way Mutawakkil behaved, his son could not stand. His son could not stand. He arranged to have his own father killed because of the hatred that his father had for Imam Ali. Yet he was told by some ulama that if you do this, your lifespan will be shortened. And sure enough, that son, Mustansir, lived only for 6 months after he killed his own father. Remember what the Prophet said in the beginning of the month? This is the month to strengthen the sila rahim. And the one who cuts off the relationships of the womb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shorten his lifespan. So what can we do for our parents? If they are alive, we have already discussed now what we can do. We should take care of them, we should respect them, we should be kind towards them. If they are not alive, the ahadith tells us to pray for them. If they have qadha prayers, you pray the qadha prayers, you pray nawafil prayers for them, you pay sadaqah for them, and these kind of things. Recite Quran for them, for their benefit. It is reported that if for some reason someone were not able to be kind to his parents in this life, while they were alive, then by doing so after their death, doing all these things in their name, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will count it as if they were doing it in this life. Of course, that doesn't mean that we'll say, okay, when they die, we'll do it. No, if we can do it now in this life, when they're alive, you know, once you have knowledge of something, it is different. Once you have knowledge of something, it is different. You have to take responsibility for that already now. But the hadith is very clear on that. Now, normally, it is asked that if we have to do all this for our parents, yeah. On the other hand, what do the parents have to do for us? So very quickly, just because the time is running out, but just very quickly, there is a responsibility in the hands of the parents as well. It is not enough for them to say that, okay, my children have to take care of me and this and that and expect all that from them. There is a responsibility from the parents as well. One of the responsibilities, the rights that the children have over the parents. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, says again in his risala, the right of your child is that you should know that he is from you and will be ascribed to you through both his good and his evil in the immediate affairs of this world. You are responsible for what has been entrusted to you, meaning your children are an amana to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given something to take care of, and he will ask you about that amana, such as educating him in good conduct. You have to educate him in good conduct, husnul adab, meaning akhlaq, pointing him in the direction of his Lord and helping him to obey him. You have to educate him in Islam. So act towards him with the action of one who knows that he will be rewarded for doing good to doing toward him and punished for evil doing. This is the way you should act towards your children. One of the rights a child has, according to ulama, is that you should give him a good name. No, don't call them Tommy. Don't call them Harry. You know, it's your children. Don't call him Mo. If you give him the name Muhammad, recite a salawat, please. What more beautiful name can there be than Muhammad, Ali, Hassan, Hussein, Abu Dharr, or Ammar? These beautiful names, yet we have difficulty saying them. So Mo, A, Al, or Allahu Alam. You know, these kind of, and in this Fresh Prince generation, H, J, more M. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given beautiful names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given beautiful names. The names that carry meaning. Those names form a part of the mentality of the child. The name that you give to your children will form a part of the mentality of the child. When you call him as Haydar, and you remind him about the qualities of Haydar. When you call him Al-Abbas, you remind him of the qualities of Al-Abbas. Whereas if you call him these other names which we don't need to go into, you remind him of those qualities. Whereas your responsibility is to remind him of the best of qualities. The next thing, teachings, as we already discussed. You need to teach him Islam and you need to give him a secular education as well. You need to teach him the importance of Islam and of the actions of Islam, the a'mal. You need to care for them. You need to take care of them. You need to make sure that they feel comfortable. I was talking to some parents a couple of days ago. You know, sometimes in all the best intentions, we see a child in the center, for example, and we say that, come, I'll give you candy. I'll give you chocolate. You know, just because we like to fondle the child. We like to caress the child. So we come, I'll give you candy. We don't have chocolate. We don't have candy in the pocket. But we say, you know, I have, come. So the child comes. You know, that child of 6 months, 1 year, 2 years old, comes, oh, I'm going to get candy. And then when the child comes, there's no candy. What are we teaching the children? Lying. Betrayal. And even worse when these kind of things comes from the closest relatives, because that means they feel that they cannot trust even their parents or their grandparents or their uncles. So that is why very important. We do it with the best of intentions, I know. It is with the best of intentions. But it should not be done in that sense, because we are forming the mentality of the children. So we should need to keep that in mind as well. And then we need to address them with respect. Look at how Luqman, Hazrat Luqman, look at how Nabi Ibrahim, how Nabi Yaqub are addressing the children in the Quran. Ya Bunayya. Oh my son. And the way, look at how Luqman is reasoning with his child. If you look at the Quran, the Surah Luqman, how he is reasoning with his son in the best of manners. You know, not, hey, you come sit now, let's discuss, let's talk, I'll tell you what is going on. In the most respectful manners, he teaches him about life. In the most respectful manners. Talk to the child as an adult. Talk to him as an understanding personality. Talk to him as someone who has a brain, not someone that you can... You know, you see some parents, they will, when they talk to other children, they talk very nicely, they talk with a lot of respect. When it comes to their own parents, own children, it will be very, hey, come, do this, go do that. No, there is a nice way to talk to your children. There is a nice way to form the mentality. Because the way they get treated, they will, in their hand, or in their turn, treat others. And then, of course, if we speak about the physical parents, for the biological parents, we need to also speak about the spiritual parents. Because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam have said that ana wa Ali abaway hadhihi al-ummah. Me and Ali, we are the fathers of this ummah. They are the spiritual fathers of this ummah. They are the spiritual fathers that we need to pay respect to. If our physical, biological parents have certain rights upon us, then they have certain rights upon us as well. If the rights they have upon us, or the expectations they have upon us, is that we should live according to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the sacrifice they did to get this message to us, and the rest of Imma, the sacrifice that we did, that when we come and we mention the name of Imam Hussein for 12 days of Muharram and 10 days of Ashra Zainabiyya and on Thursday night, so whenever we mention the name of Imam Hussein, and yet we turn around and we betray that trust and we do not follow the teachings, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, Haqq Fatimata wa Abiha wa Ba'liha wa Baniha. Oh Allah, save us from betraying the trust that you have given to us. O Allah, make us the most adherent to the rulings of Islam. O Allah, make us fulfill the duties and the rights of our parents. O Allah, make us to fulfill the rights of the A'imma and the Prophet and the Masumeen. Make us understand the teachings of Islam. O Allah, give us the pure understanding of Islam as it should be understood. Forgive us for our sins during these holy days. O Allah, whatever we have been able to give, accept it from us. O Allah, on the night of Qadr, Allah, write for us Hajj to your house. This year and every year. O Allah, write us for us the ziyara of your Holy Prophet and the A'imma. O Allah, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salamu ala al-mursaleen, wa ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahireen.